Well, welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, December 9th, 2010. And as I know, most of you know, one of our dearest friends, Wesley Snipes, very good friend of Steve Barris and myself, was put in a federal penitentiary at Fort Lewis Run today in Pennsylvania to serve a 3-year sentence for failing to file 3 income tax reports, even though he had paid his taxes.
Now, incredible.
The average person out there doesn't file 10 of them, would get, they'd probably get maybe a fine at the worst, that fine. Probably nothing at all, just a message from the IRS, don't do this again. Now, why is Mr. Snipes in jail? Well, let's look at this. Okay. He went to trial in 2008. He faced 8 felony counts, which he beat. Because just like Willie Nelson, Sylvester Stallone, several others, and by the way, Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes had the same accounting firm and several other big celebrities that had the same kinds of problems. And you never even heard about it in the news. Nobody heard about it in the news. No one. In Willie Nelson's case, it was his accountant who thought he had filed for several years and he hadn't, forged Willie's signature. Willie's a musician, not a business, not a businessman. Luckily, when everything went up to the IRS auction, all of Willie Nelson's friends came to his side and bought all back his assets, his ranch, his studio, and gave it back to him. Luckily, in Wes's case, he didn't lose any assets, but he lost his freedom, which is probably worse. And he's now going to serve in a minimum security 3 years for 3 misdemeanors. Now, let's look at the trial. Okay, Kenneth Starr was the prime witness against him. Not the Kenneth Starr that the government had to go after Bill Clinton, but a Kenneth Starr that screwed millions of people out of hundreds of, actually, several millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Sylvester Stallone being one of them. Wesley Snipes being another. He was the prime witness in the case, the tax case, against Wesley Snipes. However, the attorneys representing Wesley Snipes at the time did not know that Kenneth Starr was about to be a convicted felon on his own merit. You can look him up on the internet. So then the trial starts. Trial starts, and it turns out that 3 jurors believed that he was guilty, and several believed he was innocent before the trial. Judge Terrell Hodges was the judge of this case. After the trial was over and he was acquitted of the felony charges and given a punishment for misdemeanors, I mean, these misdemeanors are less than a DUI. They're more like being drunk in public or you know, making lewd comments at someone. Those are misdemeanors. After the trial was over, Nathan Hochman, H-O-C-H-M-A-N, Assistant General, Attorney General, young guy, still young guy, came down from Washington, D.C. and told Judge Terrell Hodges if Wesley was convicted of these different misdemeanors, 3 of them, to give him no parole, no community service, but the maximum, which each count carried 1 year. That's 3 years. In a normal situation, those 3 years would be compounded on 1 year. But because of Nathan Hochman, Google him, listeners, what he told Judge Terrell, throw the book at him and give him prison time, Judge Terrell gave him 3 years. So this is where he's at today at 12 o'clock. He surrendered himself into a minimum security prison at Lewis Run. And the sad thing about is this, if you listen to CNN or headline news yesterday, there are people just now being convicted for 3 and 4 year sentences for attempted rape, robbery, attempted murder on mm-hmm. federal charges. Yeah. And they're getting 2, 3, and 4 year sentences. Look it up. Right. Where has the justice of this country gone to? This is, you know, considered the largest case in IRS history. And from my standpoint, this is going to be the biggest backfire that ever occurred in IRS history. I pay my taxes. I don't protest. My stuff is legal. They can audit me anytime. They have in the past. I always pass with flying colors. It's not about me. I'm just saying it's so sad to see what's happened with a beautiful human being that you and I know very well, Stephen and I know very well.
Yes.
Who gives lots of money that he makes out to people that need it. He's just a beautiful soul. In my past, I have dealt with this as a young person. The first time I dealt with this kind of energy was back in 1970, 1960. My God, I can't even remember anymore. When I was a person in the United States Air Force. In the United States Air Force, I was stationed at Point Arena in the 776th Radar Squadron. What we were doing there was observing UFOs coming from outer space, coming down. We had an ANFPS 35 search set, very much like the same set that was up at Montauk, New York. And we observed unidentified craft, thousands of them, coming down every night, 400 miles off the California coast of Point Arena, at 20,000 miles an hour, coming down within 5,000 feet of altitude of the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, which we looked out over, and then moving down towards Mexico at 5,000 miles an hour lateral speed. The people, the scope dopes that had to observe this, ran a what's called a PPI scope. They were in an ultra top secret clearance area where I was working also. My job was to keep their scopes running and make sure their equipment was up to snuff. They filled out a DDS Form 332, which described all of these incidents, which are unexplained, and turned them in. When they were turned in to a senior master sergeant who was in charge of documentation, they were promptly destroyed so that no trace of the evidence would ever go out to the American public.
Sure.
I filed a grievance. And I told the Air Force, I said, I don't believe in the Air Force. I'm a taxpayer. I don't believe in this anymore. And I want out. I want to cancel my contract with the Air Force. The Air Force, that was at night. It was late at night. This came to my mind. So what happened was, the Air Force says, you can't cancel your contract. I said, I can cancel it right now, or I can cancel myself. What I did was, I got up on the staff sergeant. This was late at night. I get up on the desk of the staff sergeant in charge. I grabbed a 2-gallon can of carbon technofluoride, which we used to clean the radar output tube, poured it on a rag, put it in my nose, and said, I'm going to leave the Air Force on top of your desk. That freaked him out so much, they arrested me. They hauled me down to Hamilton Air Force Base, where I was put up in Fort Letterman. And then at that fort, which is a psychiatric ward, the next day, the commander came out, an army place, and he asked me why I was there. And I explained to him what happened, why I was there, the DES Form 32. He was a army in Letterman General Hospital. He was a army captain, psychiatrist. He stood up, shook my hand, and says, for all the discrepancies I've seen between the Constitution of the United States and what I have seen observed by the actions of the military, I find no problem with you. And he released me. I went to work for the Army for about 2 months. The Army approached me and asked me to join them as a commissioned officer in the biology lab. I said no. And then they went to Congress, and because I had not done nothing wrong. I was an honorary student. I was the youngest two-stripe in the Air Force at the time. So the Congress passed what's called an early out. And I got out of the Air Force after serving only 2.5 years with an honorable discharge, which I have on on BBS Radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I worked with the government. The second time, I was working at Steel Beach, California, and I saw these spaceships catching on fire. I filed a grievance with the United States, you know, against NASA and their behavior, won the grievance, and was given a year's pay and honorable discharge from that job. I have been in this situation, and when I filed the grievance with the NASA thing, because of the fires on the spaceship, the Rockwell Corporation tried to accuse me of setting the fires, and so they tried to set me up for some
right.
kind of a conspiracy, an espionage charge. But
exactly.
Luckily, I had enough witnesses, and I beat the damn rap. So I've been down, and I would have served 20 years for that, and I came out...
Wow.
And they gave me, you know, a couple of years of back pay because they fired me while the court procedures took place.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been down this road, and what I see tonight, there's an alternative plan. It's Plan B. I'm not going to mention it, but this has become a personal thing now. I'll give up everything to see justice in this case because I know this man. Steve knows this man.
Yep.
And we're not going to give up. He's a good person. Yes, yeah, he played around a little bit with his people, but he didn't know any better. He wasn't properly counseled, like a lot of people
right.
weren't, and the people that
right.
took him down, could have taken down Sylvester Stallone and a lot of other people. Go on the internet, do your due diligence.
Well, Fred, from a psychic standpoint, sweetie, I don't see him doing a complete 3 years. I really don't see that happening.
Yeah, I'm glad to say that. I'm glad you see that. All right, so... tonight I'm not wearing a hat. This is hats off to my friend West. I'm going to support him 100%. So anyhow, with that out of the way, how's it going, gang?
Pretty good.
It's going good.
Pretty
honey.
Good.
It's going good.
Yeah. So what's the latest off the political front?
Well, my buddy here, she called me and was talking about she has been seeing vortexes.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in the Rochester area and around the country are seeing a lot of vortexes, and that's been going on for quite some time.
Quite some time now.
And we wanted to talk to you about it and see what you thought.
Yeah, I want your take on it. I've been seeing them for a number of years, and they've been going on all over the world, really. Some have been recorded, and some people don't happen to have a recording, but they can verbally, you know, tell you exactly what they saw, and they're right on the money. I don't doubt them 1 minute. I just wonder... What's happening from your point of view?
Give the breakdown of give us about a 5 minute explanation of vortexes and your experiences first.
My experiences.
Yeah, give me a couple of two or three minutes of that.
Okay, it starts with a twinkle, like a something, a small light in midair. Okay, there's no source of this light there. There's no scientific explanation for it. It's just like a twinkle, like a diamond, you know, a sun hitting the diamond. It's a flash, and it starts to get larger and larger, swirling in a clockwise motion. It's a complete color spectrum sometimes, and sometimes it's just a blue, and then it gets there's white that comes that streams out of the blue, and it swirls and becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's what I see. That's what I see. There's also a feeling with it. There's a, I don't know, a physical sensation, almost like I'm being pulled towards it when that's happening. I never feel as though I'm being pushed away. I always feel as though I'm being pulled towards it. Emotionally, it feels very good. It doesn't upset me. It doesn't feel heavy. It feels like a complete opening is happening of some sort, and something could potentially step through from another side, another dimension, or another you know, another area in space. But it's that's what I'm seeing. That's what a lot of other people are describing to me. Pretty much the same thing. Sometimes it's a different color, but not too often. Not too often. And sometimes they do see lights coming out of the center of these vortexes. They see lights, powerful, intense, beautiful lights. And I believe them to be ships. Yes, I do.
So what do you think about that, Steve?
I see vortexes in a different way.
Take the same amount of time that she did and explain, you know, your view.
I feel like she's on target with the ships, but the way I see it basically is white light as a vortex, and I really think that she's onto something. I think she's onto something really big.
If you're seeing it as white light and she's seeing it as detailed photos, then you're seeing it in a fast motion and she's seeing it in more of an oscilloscope, you know.
Okay.
Possible?
Well, the way that I see it, Fred, basically I can see it about 3 miles high and then I can see it about 6 miles wide.
Yeah.
And I've had clients get off the expressway and actually feel the energy from my place and tell me that the vortex is out to the expressway, which is about 6 miles away from my office. So that's what I'm seeing. So there must be something going on because, you know, I had mentioned these to you a few years ago.
We can scientifically validate some of that in this way. You know, going back to the things that we did at Pyridyne back in the early 70s when you started the company.
Right.
One of the things that I've repeated on this show before, but let's bring it up now because it's a very important point, in that we were in the Ambassador Hotel doing a show with Groucho Marx. Remember the old Marx brothers?
Yes.
Yeah, Groucho was such a sweet guy. We were doing a show with him at the Ambassador Hotel. That's the same hotel that young Kennedy was shot at. And,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And before that, actually. So we're out in the back room, in the exhibitor area, and there's these big doors that could open, and the doors are open, so people go out and have a break out back. But it was like about at least 10,000 square foot, you know, area of lectures and booths. Well, we had, in our booth, we had the 10-foot pyramid with grapefruit juice, and then we had 20, 30 feet away a table with grapefruit juice. And our point was that if you drink the grapefruit juice under the pyramid, it would get clear and taste sweet. If you went 20, 30 feet away to the table with the same grapefruit juice with no pyramid over it, it would taste bitter like grapefruit juice does.
Hmm.
Well, about the show started Saturday about 10 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, people were tasting. We were sending out hundreds. It was a big show, 10,000 people. So we're sending out these grapefruit juice in these little tiny little Dixie cups. And people after about 3 o'clock said, "We can't taste the difference." And I said, the ones in the morning could. And I said, "What do you mean?" So I went over to the table that had no pyramid over and tasted it, and you couldn't taste the difference. It was sweet over there like it was on their pyramid. What had happened was the energy had spread from our table, energized the entire, hotel in that exhibit area, and spread over and got to that table. So in those days, we had a little old Volkswagen van. That's all we had as a Pyridyne was a little company. It was out in the parking lot. It was about 300 feet away. So we moved the control group, meaning the ones not under the pyramid, out to the van. And we would send people, because the door was open in the back, out to the van and do the tasting there, and then come back and do the tasting under the pyramid. Same stuff. That worked until about Sunday afternoon, but it didn't matter anymore because we're down to a couple hours, and the energy had reached all the way out to the van. And even out in the van, and by the way, this was a pink-orange juice that had a coloring agent in it, and when it was affected by the pyramid, it turned kind of a lemon colored color that grapefruit juice is.
The right color. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and but it was turning from pink in Sandy Bernstein, who owned the van, out there in the parking lot. It was turning from pink to the lemon color, and that was on Sunday afternoon. And we're talking a lot of pavement here. We're talking 300 feet of pavement. So what I'm hearing from what Steve is saying is that the area around his place is spreading from the energy. That's the same thing that happened in Laguna Beach.
But this is happening all over the world. It's not just here. It's happening. It happens. It's in my reading room. It's in Australia. It's in Poland. I mean, it's all over the world where people are calling me and telling me what they're seeing. They quickly see a burst of light after the full vortex has formed. They see a burst of light, and that's something entering into this dimension from another dimension, and then the light is gone, and that is a ship. I'm positive of that. I'm positive of it.
Yeah. So, but the bottom line is there's a residual magnetism, etheric magnetism that prevails.
Right.
That will turn all this crap around. I mean, this is such a fascist country. I mean,
yeah.
Have you seen the new
world?
Tax laws that Obama's trying to pass? It's insane.
It's incredible.
Your customers that buy from you would have to report their social security numbers to the government because they bought something from you. That's how bad it's gotten. Imagine that.
Wow.
You're a clerk. You're a store. People buy from you. You have to collect your social security number or their federal ID number and report that on your taxes on each sale. That's the Obama thing that's up there in Congress right now. Can you imagine that? The paperwork will kill the average person.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's beyond fascism. Hitler wasn't even that disciplined with the Third Reich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is people ask me these questions about how to wear the projector and how to wear the receptor. And I have to explain this over and over and over again. Do I get this first or do I get that first? The receptor is a battery charger. It charges your DNA. It creates a feeling, a frequency around your body, which is called auric offset. Auric offset means that you get hit by radiation, ELF, electronic harassment, poison, crap in the water, whatever. Your body has to process it, but now it has an ingredient, an electronic ingredient that's been added to your DNA through the receptor that allows you to process it, and you don't produce a free radical. This means you can act normal. If our society had been allowed to evolve without governmental influence, and remember, governments were created during the Crusades and before that over holy wars because of belief systems that didn't gel. So you have to erase yourself from all these conquestual belief systems and get out of that genre. And that means get out of the genre of government, which operates in those systems, to have your own space. If you could have your own space without having to work with this genre that goes back 5,000 years, you would not need a nuclear receptor. You wouldn't need anything because everybody on this planet would be a most enlightened creature. Even if you came here out of hell and it was your second chance, you would automatically fall into the divine dance of Shiva and Shakti and all that energy.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is, the government is screwing everything up, as they always do, so the receptor fixes that. Okay, with that done, now what we need to do when we got things fixed is we need to transmit our true intent. That's what the projector does. But the body is not used to transmitting true intent. As a matter of fact, a lot of people, not even knowing who we are afraid to even meditate on their true intent. Because they have fear based on what we just discussed. So the projector overcomes that fear and allows people to transmit their true will, their true beliefs, their true heart through their projector. Now, when this happens, it drains the body because the body's not used to this ability to have a clear channel to put this information, this intelligentsia, out to the world. So the receptor now comes back and recharges by doing auric offset, getting rid of all this crap that would produce free radicals, which would bring the person down, create cancer, and blah, blah, blah. So the receptor has to go back on, you recharge your body, and then you go back to your projector. And that's the cycle that people have to get into. And that was my point about that. What do you think about that, Steve?
I think that's. I think you're pretty accurate on that.
Yeah.
I think you're very, very accurate on it. I think that that you have a lot of credibility with that. I know that you really do a lot of work with it, so there's
well,
no question about it. Yes.
You got your camera on?
I have a camera on. I'm looking at you. I see the bottle of Shiatsu in your hand.
Okay. I haven't had any today, and now I'm about to have some.
Ah, good. Well, I got mine here, too. Here it is. Yeah.
That's kind of a swig. Now, this is the only...
Yeah.
This is a show on the universe. You get screwed up on polygonal multiform, and it's really
yeah.
great. You know, it's called Fat Peel.
It's good stuff.
Hmm.
I might have to go down and visit Wesley because that's not too far from here.
No,
how far
hours.
Is that, by the way?
Hours.
90 miles.
I think it's about 5 hours.
I don't think it's much further than 5 hours, Fred.
Yeah, I've got all the information. I've got everything. I've got. He's got 300 hours of telephone time. He's allowed, lots of, visitors. There's no
hello.
There's no fence around. He could walk out of there and go home, but then of course he'd be arrested and thrown in the. He's not
sure.
in a. There's no fence around where he's at. It's an honor
mm-hmm.
system, which is great. But
somebody's on the phone, Fred.
Huh?
We got somebody on the phone here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I think so.
Loud and clear.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Yeah,
this
is John from Gaithersburg. How are you all doing over there?
Good.
Is that Dr. Fred and Steve, and is that Sherry?
Yes, it is.
It's Sharif, yes.
Oh, it's good. Well, it's good to hear you all. And
how are you?
I just called in for a few quick questions that I had and a couple of quick comments. And, well, first of all, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to give my Social Security number to any sales clerks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
There's Lock Alive or Lock Alert. Yeah, I pay them $100 a year. They protect me, and I've got $1 million insurance on my Social Security number. And occasionally I'll apply for a loan. And they always come back to me, the loan people, to make sure I'm applying for it. So I would get that, you know. It's $100 a
year. I get these scammers that call me up all the time.
Yeah.
And I get emails of that. But I want to let you know that I was reading that Rays of Truth book.
Oh, good.
And man, that is one fantastic book.
It is
fascinating, and I've never seen a book like that before. And I have read quite a few, and I think it's a book that everyone should read. Anyone who's curious about what's going on, how the universe works, and the mysteries of the universe, that book is a must read. And I'm almost through it. I mean, it's a pretty thick book, but I just want to let you know I've been reading that. And in fact, I'm sitting right here. I got my power dome on and my receptor.
Cool.
Wonderful.
Let me tell you a funny story about that book. In my section
on
quantum mechanics, where I lay out the M1, N1 rings on the orbit, which I'm sure you've read now.
Barely hear you.
Yeah. The M1, N1 rings that, you know, we're talking about the orbital atoms in quantum mechanics.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you look in that section, I predicted a few things about W and P and S orbitals, and I predicted some stuff about, splitting the change in the polarity. And that book was written in 1999. And about 1995, things that I was writing about came to be scientific fact. In my newest, book, The Inside Track, I elaborate on some of that. But that became that science became the basis of the projector that we currently manufacture, which got its patent from the United States Patent Office
on March 16, 2010, under the auspices of the name Light Display Device. So I'm just saying here, what I'm trying to get across is that back in the 90s, I wrote about things, I subjected patents, they became physics orthodox quotation statements, scientific facts, in the mid-2000s, and now we have a patent on it. So I was honored to have been able to do that, but I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not had contact with the Pleiadians for many, many 20-some-odd years and taken notes. Then after the contact...
Yeah, it's just amazing, you know, some of the things in there that I had been wondering about for years, and I am a, you know, a scientist myself, and I thought a lot of it must have come from the Pleiadians.
It did. It came from them. I didn't know all this stuff. I'm an old drag racer.
I mean, like one thing, I remember you were mentioning how the carbon atom is shaped like an octahedral pyramid.
Right.
And I didn't know there was we had any technology where we could view an atom.
We could measure that.
Oh, we do now, yeah. But when I wrote that, we didn't. But now we've observed it, you know, many times in these new microscopes. Oh, yeah. In fact, we have
we can actually view an atom now?
We actually maneuver. We actually manipulate carbon atoms to create little motors and stuff. And, Feynman, Richard Feynman, was the scientist that believed in that when he was back when he was alive at Caltech. He was one of my mentors, and who was and also a friend. And he postulated all this, and if you go look up Richard Feynman on the Internet, you can actually get some of his DVDs talking about the potential of what we're talking about now, which is now fact.
Oh, cool. Well, that's amazing how there, you know, the continuity all the way from the subatomic level to the intergalactic level. It's just, it's really a mind-boggling thing. Well,
are you using
I had an idea. I was thinking that what would make a great gift. I'm gonna think what I'm gonna do this year for Christmas. I'm gonna get a lot of my gifts from Pyrodyne, you know, like your health products or your CDs. Is there enough time for the shipping?
Yeah, just get overnight shipping. But everybody, that's a good question because a lot of people pulled off to the 11th hour. You have a good stock of merchandise, but get your orders in now. We can ship them quick. We can ship pretty quick. But you get down another week, we're going to barely make Christmas. Because we're busy over here, you know, but we'll get...
Yeah, so I better get my orders in.
Get your orders in.
Also, Sherry, I wanted to thank you for your help with my mother as well. And she's doing quite nicely. She's been recovering nicely.
I'm so glad, and you're so welcome. Thank God.
Yeah, thank that was God. Just a fantastic thing you guys did. And she's in a what do they call those things now? A rehab place.
Okay.
And she's not... She doesn't have the, she's not able to leave yet. She does not able, you know, like feed herself. But she's desperate to get out of there.
Oh, honey, that's wonderful.
And I, you know, we're trying to get her out of there so I can help her with some of these health technologies that, you know, with Pyrodyne has and with the QBAM as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, honey. Make sure you give
and
her a big hug
like
for me, okay?
Huh?
Make sure you give her a big hug for me.
Yeah, I will.
Heart to heart, okay?
Yeah, will do. I appreciate that help. And I'm wondering
if
you guys had any suggestion on what I could do for her now. I mean, she's like her mental faculties are still impaired.
Love her
fairly substantially.
Love her.
Yeah, has she got a pyramid to wear on her head?
Well, see, that's in the place where the rehab place. I can't have her wearing it in there. I mean, I think it'd probably get stolen.
But when she gets out, you need to get her a crystallodome. That'll fix her brain real quick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why I got this Pyrodome, and I'm wearing it now, and I'm testing it.
Yeah,
I'm going to get my father on one.
We proved that Cedars of Sinai, which I'm sure Steve is a very famous hospital in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And we work with Dr. Cooper up there with patients with our pyramids on the head in Caesars Cyanide Hospital, like the most elite hospital in the West Coast. And we got results and endorsements. Just so you know, Cedars of Sinai is a hospital that we've worked in doing
Sinai,
with people what you're
Well, you know, one thing I found out from actually from reading your book, it was just a revelation, was that it seems like, you know, in the brain, you know, there's like a buildup of toxins.
From the cerebellum. Brain, the cerebellum.
Seems to be one of the main aspects of
aging.
Of mental decay. People get older.
The total aging process.
And that these pyramids help clear that up.
They clear
exactly.
it out. The first symptom of buildup is loss of balance. You can't do hopscotch like you did when you were a kid. The second symptom is when you start having allergies and intolerances to foods that you've enjoyed all your life. The third symptom is Parkinson's disease, you know, Alzheimer's, and all the other things that occur. That's the third symptom. We can reverse all of them, but it's good to start somewhere in the middle and take it back. When you get to Alzheimer's, it's a big challenge to reverse that one.
You've got a
situation where the brain didn't get oxygen. Remember, the blood delivers oxygen to the brain. The brain then feeds the cells of the brain, the gray cells. When you get up to Alzheimer's disease, that means that you're not getting oxygen in the gray cells of the brain that give you memory.
Yeah.
So it's hard to fix
it seems
it,
like...
but we can fix it if it isn't too far gone. If it's too far gone, no, we can't fix it.
Now, Fred, if I could, I would like to give him a little suggestion I would love for you to try. Hopefully it's okay with you, but it's something that I do with people who have similar issues, and it does tend to work. So I see for you also the same thing, so let me just give you this. You know, rub your mother's head very gently, her forehead, and right between her eyes, right at the third eye, please draw the Star of David very gently, very sweetly, very softly. Draw the Star of David, and in the center of the Star of David that you've drawn on her head with your finger, please draw the Ankh. Okay?
The what?
The Ankh.
Draw the what?
The Ankh.
Ankh.
Oh, the Ankh.
What an Ankh is?
The Egyptian symbol.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right?
Okay.
And put your hand, your right hand, over what you have drawn on her forehead. It's easier to do it when she's resting, when she's sleeping, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's more receptive. See light from your heart going down through your arm into her forehead, into her brain, of course into her heart, all right? And fill her brain with as much light and love as possible, honey. And as you're doing that, say a prayer and say repair, repair, repair. Spirit to spirit, repair, repair, repair.
Yeah, thanks
okay?
for that. Okay? Thanks for that.
Rub the back behind
she's so
her ears.
To get out of there. She tells me, say, John, they've released me yesterday. You can take me home now. You know? And I said, well, the doctor won't let me take you home.
She's ready.
She says, well, why don't you take me out the window? Anyway, I will do that. And
try that, okay? And also rub the palms of her hands with your thumbs, okay, in a clockwise motion. All right? It triggers something.
Okay.
It really does help. I've seen it work. I've used it myself.
Well, I'm definitely going to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when she gets out, get yourself a Gracilla Dome and just put it right on her head. That'll really, really help her tremendously.
That'll do amazing things. And meditation and that exercise that she just gave you, I'm familiar with it. It's top of the mark. Top of the mark.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Because you're stimulating these neurohormones in the body in the very special place that they've been blocked by all this outside crap that everybody gets, and this particular individual has been blindsided by that, and she's just giving you a little chemical formula by acupressure to release it. I totally endorse that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she doesn't have any more darkness in her head, by the way.
Yeah, I like that theory. I was working on me tonight. Can we just teleport her out here?
At the rehab
good
place.
There you go.
We actually had some dancers come in,
Wow.
And there was this woman who was there. It's just amazing. There was a woman there who I think she was like in like maybe early 80s or and who was still in very good shape, and she was dancing with some much younger man, and for an hour, and you know,
wonderful.
She was dancing really well. I mean, doing all the classic dances, and my mother really enjoyed that.
That's great.
Her heart's really lit up. It's really beautiful to see.
Yeah, I had this book. I had a few questions about the rays of truth, and I was curious about the X1 healing machine.
Yeah, that's
and
called
the T700 time machine. I read the chapter on that.
The X1 healing machine is it's called the QBAM now, Quantum Biological Administration.
Oh yes, yeah. Well, yeah. I just didn't know if you had actually built an X1 or not.
Well, we got a halfway built upstairs in our laboratory. We have a big laboratory here.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting into that.
What?
I'm looking forward to getting into that.
Well, yeah. It's coming along.
QBAM.
It's part of it working. It all works. We just have to put it all together, and I've had, keeping my engineers, we got one engineer in particular that faces out a lot. He's brilliant, but he keeps facing out on me. And, we're getting there. It's just, having dealing with the human components that are required to do their part, human components have a tendency to be a little bit slower than the prime directive. So that's the only thing that's holding us back, but we are making progress with it. It's just taking a lot of effort. Because it is a difficult thing for a lot of people.
I guess you are going to have me develop the software.
What you're supposed to do to work on this
project. As I recall.
But we got the console built, and we're way there now.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, I'm wondering when you would want me to, start doing the software part.
Oh, pretty soon. I'm just waiting for our mutual friend down here in Oceanside.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
ozone right now, and he's not responding. And I think that because it's Christmas time, we probably won't really get on this hot and heavy until January.
I'm still, researching with your book, to go through this exercise of getting the certification for this technical certification.
January comes.
And that'll, time me up for a few weeks.
So project
after that, I'll be ready to jump into it.
Yeah, well, you'll be in it.
Wonderful.
It's a project developed by Spirit anyway. It's a Spirit project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You bet.
And I've let it take its course. It's probably a year and a half behind time. I've got people that want to invest in it, but I won't let them until they have an actual demonstration. I don't take investors in any project until they have actually seen a prototype that satisfies their fancy, because I don't need their money. The money only goes into the prototype to make it.
Yeah, I mean, if we got a working prototype, then it speaks for itself.
Yeah.
You know?
And I've got people wanting to put money into it.
Is in the pudding.
Yeah, I got to have my crew ready to deliver a product. It ain't about the money. It's about delivering the product.
Yeah.
Work. And having done that, I've been very successful over the years. I usually deliver, because I rely on other people, about 3 years late on a new project. 3 year late delivery time. And so right now we're about a year and a half late. But we're coming.
Well, I think that's kind of when you're out way beyond the state of the art, things can go slower.
Well, yeah,
in the frontier of knowledge.
To work on it, that are qualified. And these people have other interests and other things going on, so I have to tap their energy. I think pretty soon, like you fell into it, a few others will fall into it, and then the project will have a huge, a tidal wave momentum. But you just have to go through and call out and weed out the people that are potentially. With his name, I've known him for 25 years. I was looking at my checkbook. Man, 25 years ago, I was writing him checks for doing a similar project on something else. But he ain't the same person he was then. And because of that, we got to make a substitution here. And that's the big deal, because this person's made a big contribution to this project. But he's gotten sidetracked. So that's okay. That's how it goes when you're in the engineering world. It's not in my world, because my engineering world is paradigm. I control all of it, and it all comes out quick. But this is something for humanity. It has a broad spectrum of the clients that are necessary, needing its services. So I have to go with the flow to get that, to get those people that deliver, to have the consciousness to develop the engineering tact to produce the services. I have to get them online. I'm going through a weeding process on this end, not on your end, but on my end. You follow what I'm saying?
Well, I can tell you.
Yeah, but it is, but the project,
I can,
full fire.
I can definitely handle that software piece. I can tell you that right now.
You'll get it. But I mean, I got the hardware now is laid out in stone, and believe me, I will find some stone masons to do that. It's not a problem. I just had to make sure that the person who previously had that position was going to go completely fail or bow out, and that's pretty much what's happened.
Yeah, I know a guy out there who might be able to help you out there with system integration and whatnot.
You were telling me about that.
You can maybe
write
a paragraph on what it is you'd want him to do, and I can see if he's got the skill set to handle it. Then
yeah,
I could shoot you his resume.
Yeah, bring it out.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, what about the T-700? I'm wondering, did you actually build one of those? Or
I built one.
What's the status of that?
Well, I was in Laguna Beach, and I took it apart. I built one and took it apart to the point that I, the technology was available. All we were able to do with the T1 time transposer was to go forward a few microseconds. And we found out, going forward in a few microseconds, that there was no future. And that was the
rest
of that.
I read that.
Gentlemen,
you would think, though, that it's... To travel in the future, all you'd need to do is travel near the speed of light for a while.
Yeah, we got to get off
stop.
The air. Right, Stevie?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Steve, I want you to, a lot of these, Pyridine is a great source of Christmas presents for the future.
You bet.
And so, and put your phone number out there.
Phone number is 585-746-8321 if you need some information. Please don't hesitate to call me. Thank you.
Would you like my number, Fred?
Yes. Put your name and number out, please.
Sharif Jameson, 585-415-2018. If you need any kind of psychic help or any other help, healing work, give me a call also. If I can help in any way, I will do so.
Once again, your phone number?
585-415-2018.
Very good. And our number is 1-800-729-2603. And I've had some people from Australia and that say, I can't use the 800 number. No, you have to use 1-949-499-2603. That'll get you through.
Fred, I'm going to be working on Wesley. I just want you to know that. I'm going to be sending him as much energy as I can.
That's
even
fair.
In dream time, I'm going to do what I can to get him out of there.
Oh, that's good. We can eat all the assistance you can get.
Yep, absolutely. We're doing the same thing here.
Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show with Buddy Boo and Steve and Cherie. December 9th, 2010.
All right, you all take care then.
Yeah,
you too, sweetheart. God bless your mom.
Bye now.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, did it click off?